Let's pray together. Father God, what a beautiful spirit in this place. And Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in Israel.
The hope of Israel that is ours today. And so, Father, as we've come together to worship you and to give you thanks, Lord, may that hope resonate in our hearts and lives. Father, there is such a need for hope. And so, Father, as we share your word today, and as we've worshiped you, may that hope resonate in our hearts as we continue to worship in this way. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is, if you didn't know this already, this is one of my favorite times of the year. And the reason being is because I get to engage with so many people. And you can start to sense that Christmas is coming. The houses down the street are strung with lights. Yes, the stores play festive music, maybe a little too early for my liking, but anyway, they do it. And you can eat all kinds of holiday goodies. Does everybody like that too? Well, this week was our family Christmas party. And you saw some pictures on the screen where these tables were filled with families building gingerbread houses, making nativity scenes, reading the Bible, listening to a Bible story while doing all this, doing little decorations of bells, coloring, sewing, making ornaments, playing games. But the most important thing that happened on Tuesday evening was the connections that were made with people and the conversations that happened around these tables. And then there was the Santa Shuffle. You saw that, right? Because I think I posted over 100 pictures because everybody was looking to see their picture yesterday. And what a wonderful means of outreach. Over 260 people plus volunteers to be able to connect with them and in a roundabout way share the love of Jesus, to be able to say, this is what we represent. It's not just about the running, but it's about the outreach and the connection. Well, this morning we are beginning a brand new sermon series called Behold, a Savior is Born. Yeah, it wasn't last week. It was this week. And to kick things off, we're going to see that thousands of years ago, there were prophets in the Old Testament who wrote about a future day when God would send a Savior to his people. And it's during this season we celebrate in a dirty stable in Bethlehem, long, long ago, there was born a little baby who would change the world by bringing eternal hope. So to really enjoy Christmas, you must embrace hope. And this happens in many, many ways. But one of them that I remember as a child was that when in the mail the Sears catalog arrived, and everybody's in agreement, right? Because we're all of that vintage. Anybody not get the Sears catalog? And you took a pen and you turned right to the toy page and you started circling your wish list, right? In the hopes that mom and dad would see that wish list and at least get one thing that was on, that was circled. Well, today it's the Amazon wish list. Or you can do your wish list. Toys R Us wish list. You can do it all online now for a wish list, right? Even my daughter has one. She said, Mom, did you see my Amazon wish list? I said, no, is there such a thing? And she had listed the things that she hoped to get. Well, each day leading up to December 25th, I would look under the Christmas tree and hope that perhaps the thing I was longing for was actually shaped and wrapped under the tree. waiting to be open. That was the beginning of hope being instilled in me as a child. But this hope that every child feels points to something bigger, greater, and even more meaningful than any earthly store or online presence can offer. And as fun as it was and is to make lists and wait to open a present during the holidays, the bigger picture behind this holiday is that it's because of Jesus' birth. We have a hope that our greater desires, beyond electronics, beyond toys, beyond jewelry, beyond cleaning products — who even wants cleaning products for Christmas? — but things like purpose, meaning, significance, forgiveness, wholeness are all available to us. These are the gifts that we do not have to wait to open. When we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are ours. And that reality fills us with hope, no matter what the circumstance or situation we find ourselves in. So you see, the signs of God give us hope. The people of God in the Old Testament were waiting and hoping for God to fulfill his promise to bless them and through them bless the entire world. They were hoping for a Messiah. And the word Messiah means the anointed one. The Messiah would be sent to rescue and heal all of creation from the destructive effects of sin. And the prophet Isaiah wrote about this hundreds of years before the birth of Jesus. God promised to give his people a sign for when the promised and anointed one would finally arrive. And this was meant to give them something to wait for and to watch for, so that when they saw it, their hearts would be filled with hope. Does anybody ever remember driving to your grandparents' house as a kid to visit for Christmas? I remember it being a very long journey. Anybody else remember how long that drive was? Well, for me, it was 5.5 hours. And so, you know, by the time I got to Whippern, I was hungry, so I would say, is there any food? Is there snacks? But the closer we got to our grandparents' house, my grandmother's house, there were signs along the way that indicated we were almost there. Landmarks and signs. It seemed to take forever, but then we would see the name of the place, which at that point was Wales Gulch, and we would see the sign that said Wales Gulch. I can't remember if it had kilometers. All I know is that my grandparents' house was right at the very end, out on a cliff overlooking the water. And we would be filled with excitement because that sign would always let us know that it was so many kilometers away. Well, hundreds of years before Mary and Joseph ever came to Bethlehem, hundreds of years before there was even a crowded inn and a dusty old stable, God had spoken hope through the prophets. God told his people to watch for a virgin who would become pregnant. Now, this is an interesting sign. First of all, this does not happen every day, and in fact, it would be a miracle, but this miracle would indicate that it was of God and not of man. And also, this pregnant woman would give birth to a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. You see, the signs of God working in our lives will often be the things that we cannot produce on our own. They will be the things that only God can produce. The truth is, you and I need divine power to save the things that are unlike Christ. We need the divine power to help us fight a diagnosis, to kick the addiction, or to be freed from depression, or to help us with loss. But when a virgin gives birth to a son, that is a work of God and a sign that he can do anything. And when the angel Gabriel visited Mary, he said, for nothing will be impossible with God. God with us, my friends, is the hope that we need. It is the name that is given to this child that is really interesting in this passage. Emmanuel. This is a Hebrew word that means God with us. When creation cried out for help, God did not tell it to get its act together and then he would come close. Rather, God saw all that was made that needed rescuing, and he made the first move towards us. While we were yet sinners, Romans 5 and 8, God came to us and ultimately died for us, that Paul tells us in Romans. You see, God did not come to us because we deserve it. He did not come to us because we earned it. He came to us because he loves us and knew we could not get ourselves out of the mess of sin that we were in. It was the knowledge that God would one day return for his people that kept the people of God going. It is what inspired their hope. And today we are inspired because he has come just as it was foretold. There's a story told about a man who was at a diner who had spent many summers in the state of Maine, and he was fascinated with his companions by telling of his experiences in this small town. And to his knowledge, the town was to be flooded as part of a large lake where a dam was being built. And in the months before, it was to be flooded, all improvements and repairs and the whole town were stopped. I mean, what was the use of painting a house if it was going to be covered in water in 6 months? Why repair anything when the whole village was going to be wiped out? So week by week, the whole town became more and more bedraggled, more gone to seed, more woe begone. And then he added by way of explanation as he was having this conversation, where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. Think about it. Don't think about days gone by. They're done. We're not going back. Can't go back, can we? Can't go back. Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. At Christmas, we have the luxury of looking back over the Old Testament prophecies and then seeing many of them come to fruition in the birth of Jesus. And while the Israelites waited on God to come, we look back at a God who came and who is presently with us. Far too many of us have the mentality of this old town. We have stopped believing that God is with us today, and there's nothing will ever get any better. We have our lives stuck in the past rather than embracing the hope that God gives us today. We have stopped hoping for a change in the wind or a bit of new life. But when we give up hope, it becomes its own self-fulfilling prophecy. When we lose hope, we stop pursuing. We turn to things that we try to help satisfy our lives. We lose the will to fight, and then our minds become a dangerous place. But the good news of hope for the present, in the direction that God's church is taking, there was a virgin who gave birth. That child was and is Emmanuel, God with us, so we never lose heart, because Jesus' sacrifice gives us hope. The story of Jesus is bookend by two major events. The first is his birth that we read about in Isaiah 7. And the second event is what confirms our hope is in the right place. The second event we find prophetically spoken about only a few chapters later in chapter 53 of Isaiah. And I encourage you to read those this afternoon as part of your devotions. Hundreds of years ago, before Jesus grows up to be a man and carries out 3 years of powerful ministry, hundreds of years before he was arrested, crucified, and killed, Isaiah writes about how the manger will lead to the cross. Jesus was pierced in his hands and feet by nails holding him to the cross. He was crushed and he was beaten by his accusers. He was punished for wrongs he never committed himself. He received wounds on our behalf. It is by the suffering that he went through that we have freedom from our own sin and rebellion. And though you and I are deserving of death and the penalty for all the sinful things we have done, Jesus took it on himself. Our hope, your hope of healing, of freedom, of wholeness, of eternal life is all made possible because of Jesus. I heard someone say a while ago that if Christmas is the promise, then Easter is the proof. That's a good word. We celebrate Christmas because we know the resurrection is coming. We have been given the awesome privilege of offering the hope that we have found in Christ to others. What better season to do this than in the Christmas season? Yes, it may cost us something. It may be a sacrifice for us. It may take us out of our comfort zone. But considering all that God has done for me, for you, isn't it the least that we can do? Isn't it the least we can do? This Christmas season, may our hearts be filled with the hope that is ours in the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. May we be so overwhelmed of Jesus, so overwhelmed with gratitude in our hearts that we would be compelled to serve and sacrifice for others as a way of sharing our hope with the world. Our servant King has been born. And he has given us an example to follow. What is one way you can offer hope to someone this week? What is one way that you can offer hope to someone this week? I pray that God will reveal it to you. How does hope in the future positively affect our present? What is one practical way to sacrifice and serve someone else as a way of sharing hope? Think about it. Do more than think about it. Pray about it. Pray about it. Because where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. And we have the hope of Christ, the hope of Israel, as our Savior and Lord, resonating in our hearts, residing in our hearts, helping us day by day to live out that hope. And that hope is lived out in our actions. It's lived out in our words. It's lived out in our families. It's lived out right here. It's lived out in the food bank. It's lived out in the Christmas outreach. It's lived out. If we don't live out the hope of Jesus Christ as his followers, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? We shouldn't expect someone else to do it for us. Because as Christians, no matter how old we are, it's still our responsibility. And so this morning, as we think about that, as we think about it, take a few moments just to think about it. Take a few moments to think about. Ken's just going to play some music when he gets here. How will you share hope with someone this week? How will you share hope with someone this week? I tell you how you can do it. You've seen, I'm sure you've seen, because it's not the normal for us, but you've seen the Metro bags that are filled under the pews. If you haven't, that's okay. But they're there. And you know why they're there? Because this week on Tuesday, we start our curbside Christmas. These are the food hampers. And if you would go into our offices and every space that is available, you will see that there's food hampers. Yeah, they're everywhere. That's okay. No big deal. They represent a family. And on Tuesday of this week, we will give out over 300 food hampers as a start and toy bag per family. So how can you share the hope of Christmas this year? Instead of complaining about the fact that they're under the pews, then we pray for the people that are represented by them. That's what we do. That's the hope of Christmas. That's the hope of Christmas. And so as we pray to God this morning, as we make our hearts right, I invite you to pray for the families represented by these bags. Not just that food insecurity would be lessened, but that the hope of Christmas would be theirs. And when we are distributing on Tuesday throughout the day, and the next Tuesday, and the next Tuesday, pray that the connection will be made to be able to share the hope of Christmas, Jesus Christ, with these families. Maybe you want to come gather around the table and pray. Maybe you want to pull a hamper out and pray over it. Verna's coming. Anybody else going to join her this morning? Just to pray. Maybe you say, well, I don't know how to pray. It's simple. Maybe you'll say, well, I don't have Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. It's simple. What are you waiting for? It's simply coming and saying to God, God, I've done so many things in my life that I'm not proud of, but I just want to have the hope of Christmas in my heart today. I want to leave this place knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am saved, that I have Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, and that He is part of my life, and going forth, I can share that hope with others. Have you done that? Have you done it publicly? Anybody else want to come and pray with Verna? Stand. This is a mission, a ministry of our wonderful church, to be able to pray together like this, to pray over people, to make sure that they know the hope of Jesus. If you want them to know the hope of Jesus, then pray. Pray. Come and stand and share. Pray together. Know his hope. Be saved. Be saved. Make that public commitment to have the hope of Israel in your hearts today. Maybe this past week, maybe even today, you said something that was very unkind. Maybe you've, sputtered in your heart. Maybe I've sputtered in my heart. To seek out the forgiveness of God for that. No one ever sputters, do they? But God is a God who comes alongside and he does give hope. In the midst of a mess, he does give hope.